Okay. Just don't forget to do it back to me here. All right, so there is a... See, here's the question. I don't remember if we dealt with it at some point in time. For those who are fresh here, so you don't know either, so it's fine. For those who have been for a couple of years, forgive me, and let me know if we did this. The question that I have is as follows. Why is it... you have people... You have some people that come to Eretz Yisrael, two different types of people that come to Eretz Yisrael, and some of them are tremendously successful, and they do really well, and they go on, in terms of Yiddishkeit, obviously, and they do amazing things. And you have others that kind of like float through the year, and when you go back, and people are like, so how's your year? And they're like, what do you mean? Oh, what does that even mean? But like, it was okay. Like, what do you mean? It was like, well, how was your year? Like, one guy's like, oh, geschmack, it's mamish gewaldig. The other guy's like, how's the cut? Like, why? What's the difference between a guy that says geschmack and a guy cut? What's the difference between them? Why is it one guy, he succeeds and he excels and he gets to the top of the top, and another person, they don't do it. They're not able to do such a thing. So I wanna share with you two possible answers. One of them is not shaykh at all to this yeshiva at all. It doesn't apply at all to this yeshiva in any way, shape, or form. And that is the idea is that how many people, unfortunately, come to Eretz Yisrael. Now, this does not apply to any of you, except for some that perhaps are not here now ever again. But you'll see. But how many people come to Eretz Yisrael and they never actually came to Eretz Yisrael? Do you understand what I mean when I say such a thing? You come to Eretz Yisrael, but you never come. Now, that's on two different levels itself. One level is the fact that, listen, you know what? It's so not true. It is true. Whatever, the stuff going on in my head, I can't tell you. But my therapist said it's not. The first thing that I was going to say, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, when I came to Yeshiva, I thank the good Lord, it was before the I stuff and all the I touch and whatever and all the illegal stuff. Before iPhones and whatever. It was before all kind of stuff came out, which I thank the good Lord. But even then, people came to Eretz Yisrael without ever leaving Chutz La'aretz. What does that mean to come to Eretz Yisrael, leave Chutz La'aretz? Now we understand what it means tremendously with people using internet and smartphone, that kind of stuff. I'm not getting into that because I'm sure, I know they probably never talk about it here, but I'm not going to get into it, right? But the point is that here doesn't apply as much because people don't have smartphones that we know about. So being that that's the case, except for that one guy, being that that's the case, so you're more here than another yeshiva perhaps would be. But even if you don't have that, there's plenty of stuff that people have. America, there's a thought process. We never really left. I can't wait till I go back. It's a constant, yeah, we're speaking to America and we're thinking about America and we're dreaming about America and we even go back from time to time. Say?
Canada?
You're fine in Canada. Don't worry about it. There's nothing there anyway, right? So I'm just kidding. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm Canadian, but the point is that I'm really not, but my wife and kids are, whatever. I'm trying to get them over the border still. But what we're saying is that at the end of the day, fine, Chutz La'aretz, okay, the Englishmen are like, well, on England, or Certifica, right, okay, lekker brew, like a cracker, right? So, but what we do say, the fine idea is that we never really left. If a person never really leaves Chutz La'aretz, of course they're going to be like, oh, okay, it's not going to really mean anything just because you came to Eretz Yisrael. That's one answer. And you find that, two people in a room, and one of them grows tremendously, and the other one doesn't, because one of them decided they're coming to Eretz Yisrael, they're coming to learn, they're coming to go. And I'm saying this, again, even without a smartphone, don't think that means that you left America, you left that world. Your head, where your head is where you are. Where your mind is where you are. Very, very powerful idea, which I think we spoke about in the past at some point. Where your mind is where you are. So let's take a look. Has anyone here ever seen a person spacing out? They're spacing out, they're looking into the distance, and you're right in front of them. You're talking. You're like, "Hello, hello," but they don't see anything. It was, to them, they don't hear. They just like they're somewhere else, and then they slowly start to hear. They hear like, "Oh, oh, hello, hello, hello." And like, what? And the Gemara talks about this. There's a certain state when a person's like kind of out of it. Nim velo nim tir velo tir. And it says, when someone says your name, you snap out of it. Someone says your name, you're like, what? Right? Then you get out. That's a good one. Right? So you pop out of it. But a person goes ahead And let's say they don't say your name, you're kind of at where your mind is where you are. So if you're thinking about Chutz La'aretz the whole time, even though you're here, it doesn't mean you're here, right? So a person comes to Eretz Yisrael, and they come for a year or 2 years or three or four or five, they get stuck. And what happens is that they don't really grow at all. One, they're not here. Number two, and this is the one where I want to focus on a little bit more, is that the one that actually got something out of Eretz Yisrael and really starts to grow like crazy versus the one that didn't get something out of something that didn't really grow is the difference between somebody who took an opportunity and someone who didn't take an opportunity. This, my friends, is such a scary concept. We have opportunities galore all over the place to be able to succeed and grow and go more and become better and greater than we are. The question is, do we take those opportunities? Do we let them fly by? Do we let them slip by? And this is where the title of the show actually comes from, is I'm going to share with you a story. I tried calling now, Rabbi, I saw this in an article in a magazine, I'm not going to say which one, whatever, but I saw it in a magazine that Rabbi Ginsburg, Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginsburg wrote a beautiful article. He writes a lot of beautiful articles. One particular that he wrote that I have somewhere floating around, and he says such a beautiful, I tried calling him right before this year to get the real story, so if I totally butcher it, then I do. So the story is about a guy. This is scary of this guy, and he's driving somewhere in America, and as he's driving, he's leaving some event with a lot of people who are there, and as he's leaving, he notices someone hitchhiking on the side of the road. And the guy looked like a Jewish guy, you know, looked like a Frima Yid, he had the whole thing going for him. And he figured he's probably from Israel because the guy he was doing like this, he was, you know, doing that. Right, so every American was like, "What? Where?" You know, and everyone else is like, set up like that. He's doing this. He's like, "Oh, an Israeli guy hitchhiking, tramping." Right? He goes and he says, "Okay, you know, maybe I'll pick him up. Maybe I'll, you know what? I'm in a little bit of a rush. Someone else hopefully will pick up." And he passes by him. When he passes by, he's looking in the rearview mirror to see, does anyone get him? And he starts to see another car pull out, and he notices the car. It's one of his friends. So he says, "Oh, it's one of his friends." I do this every time. I butcher the story. Let me start over. So I didn't really butcher it, but the one part I wanted to start before this is Rabbi Ginsburg got a phone call from one of his congregants saying, "I just missed such an opportunity." So he said back to him, "Okay, what's the big deal? So you'll have other opportunities." He goes, "No, let me explain to you what happened." So there was, he was driving down the road, he took the thing, and he sees the guy on the side of the road, this guy must be familiar, so because the guy's turning like this. Okay, now here we are. And he sees his friend goes ahead. It wasn't that much, it would have been insane. But so he sees his friend picks him up. It's okay, Buruch Hashem, alhamdulillah, right? It's going to be good. He says, "Okay, fine, wonderful." A couple of days later, he gets a phone call from his friend who says, "You're not going to believe what happened." So he goes, "What happened?" He goes, "The other day I was driving out. Remember we were at that event together?" He goes, "Yeah, I remember, of course." He goes, "Well, I was leaving that. I saw some guy. He needed a tramp. He needed a hike. He needed a ride. A hitch. He needed a hitch. Thank you. He needed a hitchhike, tramp, ride." So I go ahead and I stopped and picked him up. And the guy's thinking, he goes, "Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, I know the guy. Okay, cool." "So what happened?" He goes, "Actually, it's crazy." He gets in the car, and I say, "What's going on? How are you? Nice to meet you." And he starts speaking to me in Hebrew. I'm like, "Oh, shalom aleichem," whatever. And he says, "So what's going on?" And suddenly, the guy has a heart attack. The guy has a heart attack. This guy totally, what are the signs, right? So a little bit of coming to the left arm, he starts to feel a little bit, start going on the pressure in the chest, but it's not an acute, sharp pain, because that's less of a heart attack, it's more of a dull, pressing type of pain. And he goes to start to feel, because if it's acute, sharp, then generally what that means is some sort of muscle spasm. It's a dull, pressing, he starts to feel more of a heart attack. And he's like, "Yo, what's going on?" And he's like, "Ich weiß nicht," you know? And he's like, "Ich weiß nicht," you know? And he goes, and he's like, yo. He's like, "Was this yo, 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 yo?" And he goes, yo. And he just sits there, all of a sudden the guy's out. He's like, "What?" He takes the guy to the hospital. And then he gets to the hospital. They take him, they bring him in, and they see right away, open heart surgery, immediate surgery. They take the guy to the thing, and the thing means operating room, and they go ahead, and they do open heart surgery on the guy. The guy doesn't even know what happened to him. He doesn't even know. He's totally out. He wakes up 14 years later. No, he wakes up like the next day. He wakes up. That would be a great story. I'm sure there is one. But he wakes up like right after. And when he wakes up, he looks around and he starts to see, like, he's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "What happened?" And the guy's there, he says, "Ah, Rabbi Yid." He goes, "Vos." He goes, "I don't know Yiddish, but you know, Rabbi Yid." He says, "What, a heart attack?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, okay. He's like, "Unbelievable." Then the guy, like, bursts out crying. He goes, "What's wrong?" He goes, "I'm from Eretz Yisrael. I don't even have any insurance. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this." He's like, 50 grand, 60, 70, whatever it is. He says, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. He makes a few phone calls, right? It costs more than Zara, it costs more people. And what happens is he starts getting the money. He gets the money, right? Yeah! Yes! Yes! Yes, and he gambles it all away. And then afterwards, he goes out to someone. Anyway, so he gets the money, he gathers. He said, no problem, I'll call some people. I know back long. We'll do what he's got to do, something bark. And he goes out, he calls some people, and he raises the money, 50, 60, 70 grand. The guy's like, wow, he's so moved by this. He's like, in 10 minutes, he just paid for my surgery. The guy bursts out crying again. He's like, dude, just chill. We got the money. He goes, like, that's not why I'm crying. He goes, and what's the problem? He goes, you don't even know why I'm here, why I'm in this country. He goes, well, why are you here? Why are you in this country? He says, listen, I came because I don't have any money, and I need to marry off one of my kids. I came to collect money for my kids. He says, what? Are you serious? Okay, no problem. I'll work it out. He calls another couple of people, and what happened? Within a couple of minutes, he raised another $20,000, $30,000. And the guy was like, unbelievable. And he's telling this story over to his friend. Everybody get it? He's telling the story over to his friend. And his friend is thinking, because of a 1 second decision that I didn't pick the guy up, I missed the opportunity of Tchias HaMeisim Mamish, of being reviving the guy, Biker Cholim, Achnotzes Kala, of going out and saving a person's life, Kilo, never good. You created a whole world, right? I go and I did amazing things I could have done, and I missed my opportunity. It's not like, oh, you'll get another one. It's not like, just pick up another random hitchhiker. Next day, he doesn't, the guy killed him. It doesn't work like that. You gotta be careful who you're picking up, and some of you know what I'm talking about. And he said, this is like intense stuff, right? You miss the opportunities, you miss your opportunities. You come to Eretz Yisrael, and you have opportunities galore. You could learn here, you could learn there, you could learn everywhere, up, down. You could learn in so many places, and there's so many opportunities to come to. And do we take these opportunities? We're like, oh, I think I'm just going to go to Nero's, or what do you call it? I don't know what you call it. What do you call it? What's the food place?
Nero.
Nero. I say Nero's. Finding Nero. Anyway, but you go ahead and you know, saying we go, like, let's just go chill a little bit. Would you chill a little bit? Are you out of your mind with opportunities galore that are sitting here waiting for us to grab? Do we grab them or do we let them go by? Now, this is an amazing idea, which we actually see in 2 weeks ago, Torah's portion, and I'll share with you. It's found in the book in Parshas Yisro. Yeah, I know, it's amazing. In Parshas Yisro, it says like this: what happens? It says at the beginning, "Vayishma Yisro koin midyon." What did Yisro do? And he fired him. And he fired him in the room. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nihiyeh Bidvaro. That's for you guys. Thank you so much. Vayishma Yisro koin midyon. The rest of them don't know what a bracha is. Okay, Vayishma Yisro koin midyon chosin mishmon is called she'ose elokim lamoshe. And Yisro heard. What happened with Yisro? Yisro is an amazing idea. I want to share with you another Gemara, but I didn't say Gemara yet. But anyway, Yisro heard an amazing thing. What did he hear? It says in Yisro heard koin midyon chosin mishmon is called she'ose elokim lamoshe. Uli Yisro amoki hotzi Hashem is some sign. Okay, so he heard, he did amazing things. Okay, you got the story. So he goes there, and Yisro heard an amazing, amazing thing, and he goes there, and he changes his whole life. Changes the whole life over here. What did Yisro hear? And this Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings down also in Sichos Musar, brings down a couple different places, but I think three different places brought down in Sichos Musar, but at least one, he says the following. Yisro did the following idea, and we're going to explain it, we're going to work it backwards. Yisro, what he did is he heard something. What did he hear already? So Rashi comes and he tells us, Ma Shmua Shama Uba, big word there. What did he hear? And then he came. What did he hear that he came over here? Kriyas Yamsuf u Milchemes Amalek, period. That's Rashi. You heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. You heard about the splitting of the sea and the fight of the war of Amalek. And then it says further on, what's the next Rashi? It says, Eiskol Asher Asalem. It says everything that Eiskol Asher Asa, everything that Hashem did for them. Be'yiridas Haman uve be'er uve Amalek. Now, I want to share an interesting insight that a friend of mine mentioned to me. I actually just spoke to him right before I walked in to verify it again. I spoke to him last week about it. Also, he told me, and 2 weeks ago, he spoke about it. And his name is Avishol Majeski. He's in California. He said the following idea. He wanted to suggest that if you take a look, you can see the nuance. Rashi, on the one hand, says Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechamas Amalek. But then later, when it says everything that, what did he hear? He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. He heard about the splitting of the sea, and he heard about the war of Amalek. And then later, everything that God did to the Jewish people, what does it mean, everything that he did? You read the Haman, Be'er, and what was the next one? Amalek. But what does it leave out? Which word? Milchemes, Amalek. It doesn't say Milchemes. This is Amalek. Why does it say Milchemes? And early it says Milchemes. And why does it throw in different ones over here and throw in different things over there? What's going on? So he said, he wants to suggest there's two different angles of what's going on over here. One angle is the Sumerah, the other is the Asay Tov. The Sumerah is like this. He goes and he says, "What?" When it starts, and it starts to say, what did he hear? Kriyas Yam Suf and Mechamas Amalek. Now, we would understand that to mean, generally, Kriyas Yam Suf is, wow, the Jews are saved by the Yam Suf, and Mechamas Amalek is the Jews are saved by the Mechama of Amalek. That's focusing on the Jews. But he wanted to suggest, this isn't focused on Jews, this is focusing on the Goyim. What's Kriyas Yam Suf? How could it be that the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim, could go through a whole year of the Makos, experiencing God just knocking them out, left and right, and still chase them? Pharaoh's like, get out! He's like, get out of here, get out! And they go, and he's like, wait a minute, oh my God, oh no, wait, oh my God, let me get him! And he gets to go chase them, and he goes to go chase them, what are you, crazy? What are you, nuts? So I was talking to Rabbi Wiener about this, and he said to me, yeah, well, the Ramban does say at the end of last week's parasha that there's no way he could have done this if it wasn't from Hashem, and he wasn't really making that decision at all, in which case he knocks up this whole shot. But put that aside. Oh, that's an amazing Ramban. What he's saying over here is he says, how could it be that they could have seen such a thing? Opportunity knocks, it's right there. Opportunity knocks, it's right there. He could have saw such a thing. And yet they chased him into the Yam Suf. Crazy. How could it be that Amalek hears about Klal Yisrael? Everyone was scared of Klal Yisrael. The entire world had a pocket of Klal Yisrael. And yet they go ahead and they're scared of them. But then they attack them. Are they nuts? How could it be? So he says, I can't be, says Yisrael, I can't be part of these people. If there's such a clear sign right in front of you, an opportunity to make a decision as for whether you're going to fight against it or you'll maybe even join it, and they choose to fight it, I can't be part of this. So he's like, I'm out. That's the Sumerah. Everybody get what that said? I can't be part of the people that don't get the point, that miss the opportunities that are right in front of them. I say, Tov, I say, hey, now take a look and see all the Hashem, things that Hashem did for him. What is all the things that he did for him? Forget the Milchama, just the whole incident, the concept of Amalek entirely. Like they did. He gave him the Be'er, and he gave where is it? Kosh Yisrael, what's the other Rashi? Be'er and Saman, he said, the miracles that happened to you, Saman, Be'er, and Amalek. Forget the Milchama, just the whole fact that they survived the Amalek. That's a miracle thing. The fact that all, and this is what happens, that's the Asay Tov, the focus. But what is, I don't know all the Baal Moshe say about Yisrael. Yisro saw something and he grabbed the opportunity and he went with it. He grabbed the opportunity and went with it. The question is, how many of us take our opportunities? And this is where it gets a little bit scary. The Gemara we've discussed certainly in the past more than one time, but I want to give you just another take on this. This is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. A very famous Gemara with Elazar ben Dordaya. Elazar ben Dordaya goes out and he's doing some bad stuff. He's getting involved in Gilei Raya, so he's sleeping all over the place. And eventually what happens? He is at one point where this woman who he's with says to him, basically, you're not going to do tshuva, right? Whatever happened over there. I don't want to get into the story now because it's going to sidetrack me. But this is, you're not going to do tshuva. So Elizabeth the Dice says, what? Woman? What you talking about? I ain't going to do no tshuva. Who are you to tell? Now, what could he have just said? Okay, let's continue. Right, that's what he could have said. But what he said is, he said like this. He's like, I'm not going to do tshuva. The guy had the Guinness World Record. The guy was all over the place. You understand? And then the last thing, the woman's like, oh, by the way, you're never going to do tshuva. The whole thing doesn't make any sense, right? You have a Zona that's speaking in such ways, right? She's going to say, oh, by the way, you're going to go and you're not going to do tshuva? Like, what's shaychus? What could Elazar ben Dordaya have done at that moment? He could have just kept going and continued on and never done what he actually did. What did he do? He's like, what? Takes a step back. He's like, oh, my eyes got to change. It's got to make a change. And he goes and he prays to Hashem. Okay, so that's the quick end of the story. So he goes ahead and he does tshuva and he changes. And what happens when he changes, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, Rabbi, a Baskel, a heavenly voice comes and says, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, you're invited to the world to come. He saw an opportunity and he took it. He didn't skip the opportunity. He took the opportunity. And on this, says the Gemara, Bacha, Rabbi cries out and he says, Yesh, Kona Olamo Bekama Shanim, there are those that acquire their world to come, heaven. In many years. And what's the next line? V'yesh kona olamo b'sha'achas. And there are those that acquire their world in one moment. I want to suggest there's a third. It doesn't, the Gemara doesn't say, but there's a third one. What's the third one? V'yesh she'eino kona olamo. Anybody hear that? I don't think they speak about those. That's like the fifth son. You know the story there. I don't want to talk about it. Yesh, kona, olamo, bekamashanim. There are those who get the world to come. It takes them many years to do it. And there are those that get it in one moment, period. What do you, period? What about the next part? And there are those who don't get their world.
What do you mean? Kol Yisrael, well, yesh lahem chaylek, yesh lahem chaylek li olam haba.
Right, everybody skips the next part. Chutz, except for all of us. It's like if anyone ever said anything against the chazal, no baba. You're done. He's like, well, what am I wasting my time with it? And instead, have a good time because you ain't going to have one next time. Realize, friends, there's a whole list of those who lose it. You lose your olam haba, you could lose your whole opportunity. Your whole world could be gone. But says the Ben Ish Chai, what is Yesh Kono Olam HaBakan Rishon? It says Yesh Kono Olam HaBasha Achas. There are those who can acquire the world in one moment. Says the Ben Ish Chai, what is Yesh Kono Olam HaBasha Achas? Rosh Tevos, Akiva. Yesh Kono Olam HaBasha Achas. Take the letters, switch them around. Rosh Tevos, Akiva. What's Akiva? Akiva is walking down the street. And as he's walking down the street, what does he see? He sees a rock with a hole and he sees the water dripping through. Right? Everyone knows the story? And what does he say? What's his response to that? What? What does he say? Fine, Kal v'chomer, we'll stop there. For those who don't get it, you got to stay longer. Kal v'chomer, right? He says Kal v'chomer.
It's not too late.
Say it again.
It's not too late.
Good, another part of that. It's not too late. Journey's song. Not sure which one we're singing, but it's not too late, Akiva. Anyway, so what? It's not too late. He makes a kal v'chomer. He says, if water so soft can make a hole through a rock which is so hard, certainly... certainly Torah, which is compared to
fire.
We did this last time also. The fire can make a hole through my heart, which is so soft. Okay, if you get the Kal v'chomer, great. If you don't, you don't. What do I say? There are those who get it, those who don't. I'm even yuffing, you don't understand what I just said, not either. Right, so what happens is that the Kal v'chomer, think about what just happened. What does it mean when the Ben Ish Chai says the concept of Akiva's Yesh Kono Lomo B'Shah Achas? What does it mean by that? What it means is very simple, I think. What it means by that is very simple. How many of... anybody been to Arizona before? Anyone from Arizona? Who's from Arizona? Anyone? Anyone been to Arizona before? There's an area in Arizona where there's... I think it's a famous thing. I didn't know it was until my sibling-in-law sent a picture.
I don't know how. They just did, okay? In the mail, electronically, on my phone.
They sent a picture. My wife's... my neighbor's wife's... They sent a picture on the phone. What in the thing? Delete that. Sent a picture with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. They're not... My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, that they have a picture of their kid in a hole in the rock. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a place in Arizona where there's a hole in the rock. It's just a massive rock with a hole in it. It's not that hard. You get the point? I mean, it's pretty hard, but there's a hole in it, yeah? And she's sitting in the hole in the rock. How many of us have walked by things in our life that we have seen? And we've been like, wow, that's really cool. You get it? That's really cool. Rabbi Akiva is walking by and he saw a cool thing. So I know you guys didn't do it, but during Ben Hazmana maybe, not the guys who signed up over there in the thing, but for those who didn't sign up, right? So what do you go and you see a cool thing, what do you do? What do you do?
Snapchat.
They're like, right? Selfie. You take a selfie with, selfie by the way is a picture of yourself. You take a selfie of this cool thing. Rabbi Akiva should have taken a selfie. But what does he do? He's like, hold on 1 second, opportunity, let me grab this, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the same piece we discussed. He says that every person has moments of inspiration in their life. Everybody's moments. Now, he actually says that you have shows, you have these hours, these moments. But there's one in a thousand of those moments that you can acquire your entire world. And the question is, when opportunity knocks, do you open the door? Do you take that opportunity and do you nail it? Do you do as much as you can now? We're holding now in, I mean, it depends how firm you are. Either in February or we're in Nissan. It depends how firm you are, and I see you guys aren't firm. You don't know what that is. Okay, so this, you know, about the word. Okay, so, or Shvat, for those unfamiliar. Are we in Shvat? See, a couple of people are confused here. Yes, we are. Okay, so that...
Purim's in 2.5 weeks.
Good, good, Purim. That you see here, your mom is practicing, I know. Right, so we have, we're coming up to, now, almost the end of the, this is almost the end, because what's going to happen very soon? You can hit Purim. Now, a lot of you are already doing achonas. And then what happens, you hit Purim. You're going to get trashed until, basically, Pesach. Pesach, you'll be constipated until Shavuos. Shavuos. Sorry, enough about me. And Shavuos, you'll be stuffed. I know you when you think you know you. And Shavuos, your stomach's going to owe you too much for too much cheesecake. And then you're like, oh, how was there to tell? It's okay. Okay, you missed 3 months. What are you talking about? Now is our time to grab the opportunities. This is for some of you. I don't know if people are going to be coming back or not coming back, or they're stuck again. You lost the passport. But some of you, you might not have this opportunity ever again in your life. This is your opportunity to change the trajectory of your entire life. The opportunities that you take right now, the decisions that you make right now in your life, you are now planning out for the next who knows how long. Mitzvah Hashem should be a long life. But realize the fact, if it's good, it's be a long, and even if it's not, you'll do tshuva, Mitzvah Hashem. The opportunities now that we have. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you an amazing story. Whew. I was in a cab, and I asked, did I tell you this story about the cab driver? I get into a cab. You've been here for, right? So I get into a cab, and I asked the guy why he's not Haredi. Did I tell you this story?
You have a few of those.
Yeah? Okay, you're a pasolitas. You have a what?
You have a full speech
of which one?
Cab driver was awesome,
yeah.
So are you.
No, that's the guy with the... Right, the guy, should he became religious and the whole thing. A different story, different mindset. What?
Why is not Shomer Shabbos?
Why is not Shomer Shabbos? Why is not... Well, you also puzzle. And it's it, okay. Okay, see, the snake one's a good story. It's not that story. Right, so a lot of cab stories. I wrote that one down. Okay, so stories like this. I get into a cab, I whistle for a cab, we came here, so I got in. And I sit with the guy, and I want to hear from like the secular perspective, like why are you not religious? But I might come off a little bit, you know, it could be I come off a little strong. I don't want them to be like thinking something, you know, like I'm not going, you know, saying they're going to take it away. They're not going to. So I pulled the stupid American card, you know, shalom, 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 shalom. He's like, huh? Like, okay, a little too much. I'm like, shalom. And he says, I say, okay. He says, where to? I don't remember where we were going. I do. I was going to Ish. And I said to the guy, I said to him, you know, I'm just, anime America. Ve'ani lo yadas. Lama. Okay, so I said to the guy, listen, I said, if you don't mind me asking, I'm just curious. I'm from America. I'm not in this whole, like, you know, Haredi. Yeah, this, the color, what do you call it? The color war. I'm not in this color war, you know, and the color war, the knitted war, the whatever. I'm not in this war, right? And I don't get it. You say Chiloni or Hilon Mal, whatever. I'm not into this thing, yeah? Just why are you Haredi? And the guy, like, laughs at me. Am I Haredi? Because, you know, totally not Haredi. So I said to him, why aren't you Haredi? So it dropped from the political meanings of the words, and it went straight to the point of, like, why are you not religious? That's essentially the question. Why are you not religious? So the guy says to me like this. He said, let me ask you a question. If I were to tell you, he says, are you religious? I said, yeah. He said, have you been religious your whole life? I said, yeah. He said, if I were to tell you this coming Shabbos, don't keep Shabbos, break Shabbos. Would you do it? I said, no way. He said, Zenishma kitzoni. Yeah, that sounds extreme, right? Extreme. I said, yeah, that sounds a little bit extreme. He said, you telling me to keep Shabbos is the same as me telling you not to keep Shabbos. Everybody gets that?
Yeah.
It's extreme. I've never kept Shabbos my whole life. Like, okay, I do Yom Tovim. Right? He's an interesting guy, Sephardi guy, so of course, you know, he's the Baba Sali's kid or something, right? But he goes there, or he is the Baba Sali, I don't know. So he's put on. And so he says, you know, I my whole life, we do Yom Tovim, this blew me away. He said, I put on tefillin every single day, which I was like, well, that's okay, interesting. He puts on tefillin every single day. He keeps Yom Tovim, but Shabbat, you know, I was like, what does that mean, keeps Yom Tovim? It means they come together as a family. It's what they do, but they don't really have anything. Right? Shabbos, it's kitzoni, it's crazy. Then he says to me, the saddest part, he says to me, but I'll tell you something, I would really love to be religious. I said, great. So go for it. He says, I can't. I said, well, what do you mean? And he says to me, I'm divorced. I have two children. My wife isn't religious. My kids aren't religious. My family isn't religious. Nobody's religious. I see the beauty in it, and I would really like to, but it's already a mess between my wife and I, my ex-wife and I. And what's going to be with the kids and custody battles? I just can't do it. It's not... I really would like to, and it's an amazing thing. My chavrusa works primarily with Israelis, secular Israelis, and he shared with me an amazing idea, which I don't know if I told you or not. There's something in Israel, an underworld, a subculture called kippot shkufot. What's a kippah shkufa? It's a clear yarmulke, a see-through yarmulke, an invisible yarmulke. There are not just one or two, lots of Israeli high-profile Jews that come from secular homes that want to be religious, but they can't because of the pressure, but they are. They keep Shabbos, they keep kosher, they keep Taras and Mishpacha, they just don't wear a kippah, and their friends don't know that this is what they do. It's called kippot shkufot. They want it, they really do. There are plenty of them that really want it, but what do you want me to do? I'm stuck in a certain lifestyle now. And here's a line I want to share with you, this sad line. Do not be surprised if the choices that you make in your life actually come to fruition. Do not be surprised if the opportunities you take or don't take actually pan out in a certain way. This guy is now saying that he would love to be involved with something, but because he made a choice 10 years earlier, and do you think that he only wanted to become religious now? For sure he had something, a spark, an opening, an opportunity, a little message, a baskel throughout his life of like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And he heard it, but we ignore it. We ignore it. It's right there, but we ignore it. And if you don't take that opportunity, in 10 years' time, when you want to be what you want it to be, you will already have set your life on a trajectory that you didn't take the opportunity, and then it's lost. You hear this? Not simple. Not simple. The flip is the positive, where a person takes it, and all of a sudden, his life becomes beyond his wild imagination and his dreams, so much more than he ever could have imagined. Ooh, this, my friends, is what we're talking about when we say, the opportunities that we have, you have two people that come there to sell. One succeeds, one doesn't, because one of them decided to actually take the opportunity, and the other one decided to kind of like, I'll do a little bit of, I'll learn a little, so kind of a little, maybe a little bit. Crazy. I don't know the rest of the words, but I heard the song for the first time yesterday. I was crying. I was actually crying. My kids were like, well, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. I'm fine. You know, and like, they're like, yo, you're getting tears in my soup. Could you please like get out of the kitchen? But it's amazing. Do you have it? Do you take opportunity one more time? 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 You know, they say about the Vilna Gaon. I don't know who they is and if it's even said. But I'll tell you something I once heard. They have said perhaps against about the Vilna Gaon that somebody asked the Vilna Gaon, how do you know everything? How do you know everything? And he said back, you know the Gemara that says, Eino Domi, you can't compare somebody who learned something 100 times to somebody who learned something 101 times? He said, yeah, I know the Gemara. He said, well, do you believe the Gemara? And the guy says, of course I believe the Gemara. And the Vilna Gaon said, well, I didn't believe the Gemara. I had to see for myself. But he hears that? Eino Domi, the person is 100 times to the person is 101 times. The person who takes an opportunity and doesn't go to sleep and does it one more time, well, then I'll never sleep. What's going to happen? Okay, chill. Like, then you'll feel like little things and pain. And, you know, whatever. What does that mean? Don't be ridiculous. You understand? But where is the line? Okay, realize that a person understands and wants to do it, they'll get what the line is. But putting a little more, 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 taking the opportunities, grabbing them, and becoming the greatest that we could ever be. We could reach such unbelievable heights assuming that we did it. I want to share with you just a very quick Sfas Emes. And then we'll recap the whole thing, end off with 1 point, Bli Neder, and then we're done. Here we go. Okay, so here we go. Svasema says that along the same lines of, okay, so we see the moments, But what's going to be the difference between a person who sees it and a person who actually grows from it? He says everybody has in their life, I'm ad-libbing it, but aha moments, this vision, you see success. Oh, this is so amazing, this right? It says the Sfas Emes, he says the following lashon, Ein lecha adam she'ein lo sha'a. Remember that? That we spoke about. That was the cab driver is awesome. That was the whole shift. If anybody remembers that. Every person has their shah. What does that mean? No person doesn't have a moment in their life when they get inspiration. Everybody does. But the difference between a person who goes ahead and actually takes that opportunity and doesn't is yomim v'layla. And therefore, what happens? And he goes and he gives an example. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam will sometimes, and we also in another shiur talk about this. I didn't even know the Sfas Emes, so a good friend Itel Goldach pointed out to me. But we actually said this Sfas Emes without saying the Sfas Emes. If you remember about the bike and you let go and he falls. No? Anyone? Okay, me again. Anyway, so that one, yeah. So what happens is that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us little glimpses and glimmers of glory. We could see that we're gonna succeed and be unbelievable. But then what ends up happening is people are like, okay, great, so let's go do for it. The problem is at that moment, that's when you have to now put in the work. Now you have to put in the work, and you have to slowly be working and pushing yourself. Now comes the work. And everybody is willing to have those moments and bursts of inspiration, but how many people are willing to sit there and actually work and actually to take that inspiration and build it into something which is real? That all of a sudden you become a different person. Do we actually take this, or do we just let the whole thing go? This, my friends, is a very, very powerful idea. Okay, let's put this all together. End up with 1 point, Bli Neder, and then we're done. So we started off in the beginning. How can two people come to the tzol? One person goes, oh my God, we're going to the person. Like, oh, what's the difference? How do a person go to the tzol and left to the next? Because maybe the guy was never in America, the freeze never left America. A person comes there to the tzol, he's there the whole time. Because the fact that they're doing the iPhones, whatever. Oh, because the fact that they actually left in their mansion, wherever you are. Hello. Where are you? You are where your mind is. The person thinking about something else, that's where you're going to be. The person never comes there, so the first thing I'm going to do, first, the person who actually came down, unpacked his bag, and he's told the air. The second reason is because the person can take his opportunities that are there all the time. Like we told the story of that, a person goes and doesn't pick up the guy. Oh, Rabbi, I missed an opportunity. Oh, you get another one. You understand the guy had a heart attack and he was in the chassid of his, because the fact that I didn't go and pick him up for 1 second that I missed the idea, all of a sudden I missed my opportunity. These opportunities are there. It says, Yisro, what do you do? Yisro, so he hears it. He hears it. Like, wow, you guys are nuts. You didn't take the point. How could you be so crazy? And furthermore, look at the miracles happening over here. Oh, just simply put, he saw this opportunity, he nailed this opportunity, went with it, all of a sudden became Yisro. Unbelievable what he could have just done. I mean, Akiva, like the Gemara says, you know, just hand him an alpha for the Zoris, go to the Kamshan, go to the Mishalakas, then those who acquire their world and many Israel caught around in one moment. And therefore, what does it say? What does it say over there? The guy comes along, Elizabeth and the Dye, and he grabs this moment. He says, what? He's like, you ain't gonna do tshuva, man, let's do it. What? And he stops the thing, and he changed the whole life of that moment. He says, what's Akiva? Says Ben Ishchai, so she tables, he's going to Mishalakas, he says, Akiva. He doesn't go, selfie, because he's like, wow, Kal v'chomer, fire, amazing, unbelievable. And he changes his whole life. Imagine Akiva wouldn't have done it. I'm saying it like this, Rabbi Akiva. Imagine Akiva wouldn't have done it. And he would have been like, selfie. We realize that Gantz Torah Shabbat Peh comes from Rabbi Akiva. All of Torah Shabbat comes from Rabbi Akiva, this Talmidim. And he would have been like, selfie, he would have missed out on everything. And we go and we think like, where we could have been. You could have been incredible. What do you mean I could have been incredible? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Did you take the opportunity to let it pass by? This is Rav Chaim Shulevitz's idea that every one of us has moments, and there's only one in a thousand that comes out that this is your moment. Do you grab that opportunity and do you go ahead, do you nail that thing, an amazing idea? I wish I could, says the cab driver. I wish I could be religious, but what could I do? Now I'm stuck. Don't be surprised if the choices you make lead your life in the way that you chose. Realize at the end of the day, now you're making the choices. You're making these choices now. Are you going to take your opportunities? Are you going to take your opportunities? Are you going to use your time productively when you're here and you have no responsibilities? Or are you going to go and you're going to waste it away? Now is your opportunity to go do it. The question is, are you going to take it or lose it? And that's why we say, Yesh kona olamo bekama shanim. Yesh kona olamo b'sha achas. V'yesh she'eino kona olamo chas v'shalom. And those who don't even get the world altogether. Where are we? I want to end with this one thing, one last statement, which I don't know if this is right. At least Libby Omerly, I want to share with you an Einfall that I was thinking about just yesterday. We know the pasuk, and we even mentioned this in another context, but I'm sure many of you have. This is a famous coming up to Purim now, Megillas Esther. Says Mordechai to Esther, get in there and go to Achashverosh. And what does she say? I can't, it's going to be bad. I'm going to be lost. He says, what are you talking about? Dalad Yudalad, did. Dalad Yudalad, did. Dalad Yudalad, did. Chapter 4, Pasuk 14. Where is this found? Did. Where is Megillas Esther, good. Megillas Esther, which Perek? Which Pasuk? Says in Dalad Yudalad, not to be confused with Perek Dalad Yud. Dalit says the idea. What did says the following idea? Umiyodeya imlois kazos. He got the malchus. Says Mordechai. This is fascinating. You have to know something. Listen carefully, Esther. You got to go and save the Jewish people. She says, you know, but I'm going to die. What's going to be? And I'm going to lose my opportunity to be married to you still because the fact that whatever, now I'm going to Ratzon as opposed to Ba'ones, and I was never me in the first place. It was really a shade. Now it's going to be me going, and all of a sudden, what's going to happen? And Dayavish really, maybe then I get, okay, what am I going to do? So, mi odea, and she says back, don't you understand? The Jewish people are going to be saved. They're going to be saved. They're going to be saved. The question is, say it again. The question is, how are you going to be the one that's going to do it? Now, it always, okay, this is my own thing. It always struck me the wrong way that the way people explained that. Because what does that mean? It's all about like, oh yeah, well, I'm the one who saved them. We know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu mala ani aleichem schar harber kilu asisim, right? Kol oskim and b'tzibur you oskim and yodbal in l'shem shamayim, right? Zeshchus havo som zesaitom. It's because of others. Lava tepla zeshchem and yodbal asisim. Like the Mishnah Pesach Perkei Avos says, I'll make it as if you did something. We don't do anything. We don't do anything. Ribono Hashem does everything. Oh, so we're going to be the ones that are going to put on the front pages of mishpacha, right? That's what's going to be. Not everyone is okay. I'm just saying. I got my own mabah ready. Chas v'shalom. But to take a look and see how many times. What does that mean? Oh, but she should be the one. Who cares who's the one? Do you understand my question? Oh, and you're not going to be the one that gets scarred. And I'm like, seriously, that's pshat? And maybe it is, by the way. I just still rubbed me the wrong way. I was thinking just yesterday, maybe pshat is like this. Umi yodea. Im le'is kazos he got the malchus. Maybe. The entire purpose of your existence, of you being here, and of you getting to the Malchus, is because this is your tafkid of what you are meant to be doing. Anybody get what I just said? I don't know if you got that nuance. This is your whole purpose of what you're doing here in this world. The whole reason why everything led up to wherever they led up, and the whole thing moved to Shushan, and they end up, they took you, and your parents aren't alive, and you end up being an abbot, and they go to take it, and you become Gnosis Chaim, and they go to the 12 months, whole thing, and you get to the point where you are now in the palace. Maybe the whole reason you're here is for this moment, and you're going to pass up that opportunity. Not because you're going to get schar, you're going to be the one, or whatever it is, like the traditional, which is probably correct also, probably correct than whatever. But because of the fact that this is your opportunity in life. The Ribbono Shel Olam set you up for this opportunity. And this is the reason you're going to miss that. Mi odeyam le'is kazos he galt l'senters. What's this called? Aderes HaTorah. Mi odeyam le'is kazos he galt l'eretz Yisrael. This one. Now's your opportunity to take. So, gentlemen, the question I'm leaving you with is Yesh Kono Olamo B'Kamashanim B'Shah Achas or Rachmanu Latzon She'enam Kone. And when we get to the point of Olamo, you grab the opportunities that are in front of you. When someone says, hey, you want to learn? Hey, here's another opportunity. Hey, this whatever. Instead of passing it up, say, maybe this choice is actually going to take me to the top of the top. Shkoyah.